"Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." With that call from our Lord, those first apostles did indeed follow. And so did the others that we know of, the 12 apostles. During 3 years of our Lord's public ministry, they learned from him by hearing the gospel message proclaimed and also witnessing his saving deeds. The teachings allowed them to grow in faith so that they became truly convicted that our Lord was the Son of God, the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior. This comes to a head, really, in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, when our Lord gives us the beautiful bread of life discourse, identifying himself as the bread of life come down from heaven. At the end of that teaching, though, some of the disciples, and actually the gospel reads many, couldn't accept the teaching, and so they left our Lord. And Jesus asked his 12 apostles, "Do you want to leave too?" And Simon Peter said, "Lord, we are convinced and have come to believe that you are God's Holy One." They then would witness the sacrifice on the cross and then the resurrection. For 40 days after Easter, they would spend time with the risen and glorified Lord. Then at the time of the ascension, they knew they had to continue on the Lord's mission. Jesus said to them, "Now you go out, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, baptize in the name of the Holy Trinity, and teach everything I have commanded you." Well, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this little glimpse of our church history, we find the beautiful mark that we call apostolic. We profess the church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. So apostolic in the sense that Christ founded the church on the apostles. He entrusted to them his authority, an authority that has been handed on from those apostles to bishops to our very day, and by extension to priests. Of course, a special authority was given to St. Peter, the first pope, an authority that Pope St. Francis now enjoys. But then the church is also apostolic in that we celebrate the sacraments that Christ himself instituted. Just remember, at this very Mass, we basically, essentially, do the same as the apostles did in the early church. The church is also apostolic in the teachings. So the apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, accepted the Jewish sacred scriptures that we call our Old Testament, but then they accepted those writings we call our New Testament because they all had apostolic authorship. Here is our primary source of God's revelation, the Word of God. But we don't stop there, because guided by the Holy Spirit, those apostles handed on the faith. They taught the faith. And so when we look at something like our catechism, that I hope you all have, we see a beautiful continuity of faith that goes to the roots that our Lord has taught us, that has been revealed in sacred scripture, that has been taught, handed on, after generation, generation, guided by the Holy Spirit to this very day. Always that handing on, that teaching of the faith. And that brings us to a very special celebration this week. This week we celebrate throughout America Catholic Schools Week. And so you've noticed already that many of our children are participating in Mass. We have our children's choir here, most of whom are from our grade school. So our school is bearing witness to the education they're receiving here at our parish. But let's consider that importance of teaching. Again, remember, Jesus said to the apostles, "Teach everything I have commanded to you." The apostles handed on the faith. And so, right after the legalization of Christianity in 313, when we're able as a church to come out of the catacombs, we see the establishment of our first little Catholic schools. Especially at the end of the Roman Empire, we see how the monasteries took over that role of education. Those monasteries were really the centers of learning, where they had the libraries and actually the schoolrooms. With that, as the city-states started to arise, We see how the church founded the first universities, universities like Oxford, Bologna, Frankfurt. The church always saw that education is such an important part of our human development. It is through education that we learn, not just faith, but also the things of this world. Through education, we're able to really live in that image and likeness of God, to know what it is to be redeemed by Christ, and to be good stewards of this creation. So those first universities weren't just for faith. They were for all the other subjects that we take for granted today at a college. Science, medicine, all kinds of subjects. Faith and reason were not seen as opposed, but rather together as sources of knowledge so that we can know this world, but know the God who created this world. Anyone who goes through higher education especially has to realize in studying art, music, philosophy, science, law, the important role the Catholic Church had in establishing those subjects, in laying the basis for their development. Never forget that the Church was actively involved in the development of all these academic subjects. But then, too, as time went on, especially shortly after the Renaissance, education was seen as more than for the nobility, the aristocracy, or the clergy, but something important for everyone. So religious orders were founded, numerous religious orders, that were dedicated to teaching just the common person, especially the children. In our own country, we have a beautiful legacy of Catholic education. Going to the western side of our country with the Spanish exploration and settlement, we recall how Blessed Junipero Serra, who will soon be canonized this fall, in the early 1700s, founded that mission system in California. In those missions, the Franciscans had schools, not just for the Spanish colonists, but for the native peoples, to teach them how to read and write, to teach them agriculture, other vocational skills. On the eastern side of our country, the original 13 colonies, we were, as a church, outlawed until the Revolutionary War. But after that, we see how there was the need for Catholic schooling. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. John Newman, a Bishop of Philadelphia, really laid the foundations for what we know as our parochial school system. Keep in mind that until about 1850, there wasn't really public education. Education was through churches. Well, the Protestants controlled most of the churches, the majority of churches in our early country. Catholic school kids weren't welcome. All these immigrants that started coming to America in the 1840s from Ireland, Germany, and other places, they weren't welcome. They were immigrants and they were Catholic. So we had to build schools to educate our children. As time goes on, St. Catherine Drexel, among others, founds a religious community specifically to educate those who had been neglected and forgotten, the American Indians, the African Americans. And so we could go on and on. But here we have the beautiful legacy of our Catholic school system. Many of us here, including myself, know the benefits of a Catholic education. Many of us know the great sacrifices that men and women religious gave so that we could have education. Now things have changed a little bit and we have the dedication of so many lay Catholic school teachers. But nevertheless, that idea of teaching the faith, handing on the faith, helping prepare a child to be fully developed into that image and likeness of God, into being known as a Christian and a member of the Catholic Church. So with that in mind, one would have to ask, why do we need Catholic schools now? I could ask myself, if I were a parent, and I am really a spiritual parent, but if I were a regular parent, Why would I make the great sacrifices to send my child to a Catholic school instead of just the government school that's funded down the street with our own tax money? What would be the benefit? Why, as a pastor, do I put so much energy and resources even into a Catholic school? Why is that so important in today's world? Well, several reasons. First of all, we have to remember that education does begin at home. That's true. So the little church at home, the domestic church, is really the first school for the faith. So you parents are the primary educators. You're the ones, just as my parents did, who have to teach your children how to pray, teach them the basics of the faith, prepare them for the sacraments, and help them to live in a home environment where the Lord Jesus is truly Lord of your home and your family life. But then as a parent, and this includes myself if I were a parent again, I would have to think, to whom will I entrust my child for education 35 hours of the week? That's a tremendous block of time, a tremendous amount of time by which your child will be taught. And what will they be taught? So, during the past couple of weeks, we've heard much about the tragedy in France, and the news has highlighted this idea of France as a secular society. Even our own president once said in a speech that America is a secular society. Well, I disagree with that, but that's what he said. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means then that we're taking God, faith, spiritual life out of the society. Now, if it's a secular society, it doesn't mean it's value neutral. It doesn't mean it's valueless. But there's a value in itself. That if you take God, spirituality, faith out of a society or an institution of society, that in itself conveys a value. So, if a child cannot practice the faith, cannot live the faith, because that's a contrary value, what really good is that for the child's welfare? So if the government is funding the school, and the government is imposing a curriculum, like in the future this Common Core curriculum that's being threatened, and has a set of politically oriented values to impose, well, that student is going to be afflicted with those values. And either a child is going to have to accept them, keep quiet, or be persecuted. Well, as a parent, I would be very concerned about what is being taught as far as the values of human life, of marriage, of human sexuality. What is my child learning 35 hours of the week? Add on all the media that surrounds a child this day versus the time I would have as a parent to teach them at home. So for good reason then, I would send my child to a place that has the same values that are taught that I'm trying to teach and live in my home. Another reason for considering Catholic education would be that I would want my child to have a good, full academic education. I would want my child to learn history and know the importance of the Catholic Church in Western civilization, to know in America the importance of the Christian churches in developing this country. Not to have that relegated to some little footnote while the same textbook highlights these fringe kinds of movements. I would want my child to pursue science, but not just gain knowledge of science, but to have that science taught in a way that leads to an appreciation of the beauty of God. God, who through His divine wisdom, Jesus Christ, created this universe. I would want my child to have technology, but the best technology there is, the brain. Meaning, the child learns cursive handwriting for eye-hand motion skills, and so that child could sign his own name when he's older, read the Declaration of Independence that was written in cursive handwriting. I would want my child to know how to spell, not make it up and then learn later, or how to read proficiently, how to construct an argument using good English grammar. That's what I would want. And I guarantee you, that's what happens next door at our little Catholic school. But the most important reason is, I want my child to be able to live the faith. Because in a Catholic school, children do pray throughout the day. And if a tragedy does strike, we can pray in our school. It's not illegal. We can do good works, corporal works and spiritual works of mercy, not because we're sociologically inclined, not because we're just good deed doers, but because Jesus said, what you do for the least of your brothers, you do for me. I would want my child to know the basics of faith, so that what I teach at home is being reinforced each day at school. I'd want them to be able to celebrate sacramentally, whether it's a weekday mass or it's regular monthly confession. All these ways, I as a parent would make the sacrifice to give to my children. But in all, the most important part is, especially in the world in which we live, where there are so many struggles and pulls upon our children, to really have them see a vision of Christ in their lives, to become a witness of Christ, to not only appreciate their Catholic faith, but to embrace it, so that one day, God willing, they can hand it on to their children and continue that mission of the church. So my brothers and sisters, a few thoughts. And especially for you young parents who may be thinking about what school do I send my child to, consider a Catholic education. Consider sending them to our little parochial school. It is a sacrifice, but sacrifices bring great rewards. There is an open house this Wednesday that you're invited to come and attend. Information is in the bulletin. But for all of us, as we consider that we're here because the apostles followed our Lord, gave their lives to Him, and handed on the faith, you and I, no matter what our position in life right now, have to make a commitment this Sunday that we're called to be like those apostles, to commit our lives to Christ, and be prepared to hand on the faith to others. May God bless you.